Bibles this evening, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. And last Wednesday evening, we began a new sermon series entitled simply, Fear Not. And in this series, we're going to be looking at different passages of Scripture where God's Word calls us to fearlessness, if you will. Right? If you're not afraid, you're fearless. You're without that sense of fear. And as we began last week, I mentioned how fear is a reality of the human condition. It's part of the human psyche, part of who we are. And we observed that fear does have its place. It isn't always a bad thing. If you are in a truly dangerous situation, fear is a good thing. It can prompt you to be careful, to be watchful, maybe take some steps of protection, to stay clear of the danger. So fear isn't necessarily always bad, but sometimes our fears are maybe irrational and they get in the way of us doing what we should do. Or oftentimes our fears betray a lack of faith and unwillingness to trust God. And so we panic and we worry and we think through all those what-if scenarios. What if this happens or that happens? Rather than going to God in prayer, asking Him to quiet our hearts, asking Him to calm our fears. And there may be some here who live almost constantly in the grip of fear and worry and anxiety. Certainly all of us wrestle with fear from time to time. And God knows that. And that's some of the reason why in the Bible he says hundreds of times in hundreds of different ways not to be afraid, to be courageous, to be without fear. And when God says, fear not, as we talked about last week, that's God's invitation to us to trust Him. It's a call to faith. So tonight I want to look at a passage that at least in my thinking gives perhaps the clearest and most soul-inspiring basis for Christian courage and fearlessness. And it's a favorite text for me personally. When I find myself struggling with fear and uncertainty and doubt, this is the passage probably more than any other that I look to for courage, for encouragement, for strength, and help. And it's a passage worthy of memorizing, worthy of meditating on. And so let's look at it tonight. I'm sure this is a familiar passage for at least most of us, maybe for all of us. But Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41, 10. And this is what God says to His people. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, sometimes people will say to a friend, one to another, I'm there for you, brother. You know, and what they mean by that is, when you need a friend, I'm here. If you're in trouble and I can help, call me, whatever you need. If it's a shoulder to cry on, someone to pray with, someone to help you with something, if I can, I'll do it, I'll be there, I'm there for you. And it's good to have some friends like that. It's good to have people that you can lean on and cry with and rejoice with, you know, through the ups and downs of life. It's helpful to be surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ who care. And sometimes that helps calm our fears. But at the end of the day, as much as our friends and our families and our fellow believers want to help, they're limited. You're limited. I'm limited. We're limited in time. We're limited in energy. We're limited in our ability to actually change things and to actually do things. But that's not the case with God. When God says, I'm there for you, I'm with you, that's a whole different thing, because our God is not limited, not in any way. And that's what Isaiah 41:10 is saying. You don't need to be afraid, because your magnificent, omnipotent God is there for you. The title of the message this evening, simply the theme of this text, Fear Not, God is with you. So let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that you give us in your word rich and precious promises. And some of the promises that we will consider in this, just this one verse tonight, are said in so many different ways, and they're repeated again and again and again throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because, Father, you want us to be assured that these things are so. These are the things that give us a basis for not being afraid, a basis for resting secure in you. So I ask, Father, that you would encourage our hearts tonight with your word. There might be some here who are struggling even at this moment with some particularly acute fears and some circumstances that just weigh heavily on them. And as much as they want to cast those cares on you, they're struggling with that. I pray, Father, that you would just bolster their courage tonight, that you would build their faith, that you would remind them of what a magnificent God you are. And that you indeed are the cause by which we need not fear. So use your word powerfully in our lives this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'm going to put our text up here on the screen, but I want you to keep your place there in Isaiah 41 because we'll be coming back to look at the verses that lead up to verse 10 in just a few minutes. But I want to spend a little time working through verse 10. So let's look at it again. God says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I want you to just observe, and this is very, very straightforward, the makeup of this verse. There are seven distinct clauses in verse 10. Two of them are commands, and then five of them, I would suggest, are promises, or I might call them pillars, if you will, that provide the foundational truth that justifies the commands. So we could say it this way, two commands supported by five reasons. So here are the two commands, and you could pick these out easily. Fear thou not, and be not dismayed. So there's the essence of this verse is saying to you and to me, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. By the way, that word dismayed is a word that means literally to kind of look around anxiously. You know, your eyes kind of darting from one thing to another, almost with a sense of panic. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in kind of a strange place or whatever, and you're going along and suddenly you hear a strange noise and you're kind of taken aback by it and your head turns and you look and you're kind of doing this kind of, that's what being dismayed is. It's this kind of sense of panic where what's out there and you just don't know where to turn, you don't know what's coming, and you're unsettled by it. And so the idea of fear, you know, that speaks to the heart attitude. Being dismayed speaks to the manifestation of that attitude that just comes out in all of those different ways that reveal a fearful heart. And God says, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. Don't be so concerned with everything that's going on around you. So those words really just kind of go together, these two commands. And you know, one of the things that you observe as you study your way through the Bible is that God gives reasons for His commands. You know, sometimes, as in the case of this verse, they're immediately there, right in the immediate context. But that's often what God does, is He gives commands, but He always gives us a foundation for doing what He says. The epistles are laid out where the beginning of the epistles are all these reasons, all the riches we have in Christ, and then it comes down to the end, and He says, now, because of that, therefore, do this, live like this, think like this, act like this. He gives us the foundation for the commands. And that's what God does here in verse 10 of Isaiah 41. He gives us these two commands. And right there in this very verse, as well as in some of the surrounding verses, and we'll touch on some of those things, but He gives us the pillars, the foundation, the reasons why we should obey these commands. And you say, well, all the reason we need is that God gave the command. Yes, that's true. But God wants us to understand what He's about. He wants to give us reasons, bases foundations, pillars for obedience. And in the case of our struggles with fear, the power for fearlessness, I would suggest, comes from understanding and believing the reasons that God gives us. So I'm going to call them these five pillars of fearlessness. So here are the five reasons that our text gives why we don't need to be afraid, why we shouldn't be dismayed. Number one, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." There's reason number one. Reason number two, he says, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Reason number three is, "I will strengthen thee." Reason number four is, "I will help thee." It says, "Yea, I will help thee." Okay, yea is yes, but the idea in the context is, surely, you can count on this, I will help thee. And then there's another yea, "Surely, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So we have these five reasons. Let me give them to you again, just kind of worded more in the vernacular of our day. This is true, folks, for each of us. If you're a child of God, you can say, "God is with me. God is my God. God will strengthen me. God will help me. God will uphold me." You know, whatever is causing you to be afraid, you know, just over the course of life, maybe it's witnessing to someone, maybe for students it's taking a test or going in for a job interview or confronting someone about sin in their life or taking a stand against an unethical business practice, or maybe you're facing surgery, or maybe you've just been informed of the terminal illness of a loved one, or any of the thousands of other events of daily life that we encounter, that so often our heart response to those is to immediately start out being afraid, being unsettled, being dismayed. And God calls you in every one of those circumstances not to fear, to be free from fear, to overcome this natural emotion of fear and instead have peace. And that's what He commands you to do. But as He does so, He doesn't leave that command hanging in the air, so to speak. He puts a foundation under it, pillars to support it, reasons to explain it, promises to encourage. God's command not to fear comes with these five pillars of support. Fear not, God is with you. Fear not, God is your God. Fear not, God will strengthen you. Fear not, God will help you. Fear not, God will uphold you. Folks, I would suggest to you, when you are facing fears, maybe you just say those things to yourself. I don't need to be afraid. God is my God. I don't need to be afraid. God is with me. I don't need to be afraid. God will strengthen me. I don't need to be afraid. God will uphold me. I don't need to be afraid. God will help me. And just keep reminding yourself, these things are true. These are our promises that God gives me. And in light of those promises, I don't need to be afraid. I can stop being afraid. I can fear not. Folks, the key to overcoming fear is to rest on the pillars of the promises of God. God is with you. He's your God. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. He'll uphold you. And in order to bolster your confidence, frankly, God has given us even further cause for believing in His ability to care for us, and He does so in the verses leading up to our text. So let me have you take a look here, verses 1 through 9, Isaiah 41. In these verses, we see at least four indications of just how great our God is. You know, I talked about how you may have a friend who says, "I'm there for you." Listen, God says, "I'm there for you." And this is not just some ordinary, idolatrous God. This is the God. This is the God who's in control of everything, who rules over all. And He makes that point as He leads up, kind of setting that foundation again for verse 10. So these are realities about God that ought to build our faith and bolster our courage. First, our God is the judge of all the earth. And take a look at verse 1, Isaiah 41:1. God says, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near and let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment." Now, the word islands there, some translations have coastlands, but that refers to the people of the surrounding nations. You know, in the Old Testament,
Oftentimes, fear is set in the context of God's people afraid of the enemy nations. They're afraid of Babylon. They're afraid of the Assyrians. They're afraid of Lebanon. They're afraid of whoever those surrounding nations are. And oftentimes God pictures for us this idea of dealing with fear. Remember Joshua, right? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever you go. Now go in and take the land. Okay, so that's often the context. And that's what's here as well. And so God is speaking here of these surrounding enemy nations that are poised against God's people. And we have a picture here of God calling all these vast peoples to gird up their strength and come before Him for judgment. Folks, our God is the judge of all the earth. He calls all nations to give an account of their lives and their false religions and their thoughts. He is not called to give an account to them. He is not on trial. Our culture likes to put God on trial. God's not on trial before anybody. They are. They come into His courtroom. And He is the judge of all who will pass sentence on every person. That's the God who is with you to strengthen you and help you. He's the judge of all the earth. Secondly, our God is the ruler of all rulers. In verses 2 and 3, the prophet asks this. Look at it. Who raised up the righteous man from the east? And he's probably talking, I'm not certain, but probably talking about Cyrus, the Persian king, who God raised up to fight against Babylon. So he says, who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He, that is God, gave them as the dust to his Cyrus, that's Cyrus's sword. So he says, it's God who made the Babylonians fall before Cyrus. And as driven stubble to his bow, he pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. In other words, it wasn't that Cyrus was so experienced and such a battle-hardened general and had such good strategies. No, it was God's plan, and God is the one who set him up as king, and God is the one who raised up his armies, and God is the one who made him able to defeat the earlier enemies of Israel, Babylon. He's the ruler over all rulers. We have a picture of God raising up a king, leading him in conquest, delivering up nations before him. Folks, our God sets up kings and takes down kings. We don't have to be afraid of government. We don't have to be afraid of nations. They exist because God has allowed them. They can do nothing apart from God's will and God's plan. He is the ruler over all rulers throughout all history. He controls the affairs of men and of nations for His purposes. That's the God who promises to uphold you and tells you that you don't need to fear. Third, our God is the creator of all things. Verse 4, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. Here's a picture of God not only judging the nations and ruling the rulers of the earth, but calling all the nations of the earth into being, calling forth the generations from the beginning. God is the first, he says. He's the absolute reality before all other reality and on which all other reality depends. He is the source and the creator of all things, the universe, people, nations, kings, everything. And he's also the last, the one who will be there to the end of this earth, to the consummation of all things, when all has been accomplished according to His eternal purpose. That, folks, is the God who strengthens and helps and upholds you. One more. Our God has chosen us and made us His own. In verses 5 through 7, Isaiah describes the desperate attempts of the nations to tell themselves that they can stand against God. They tell themselves that their gods are strong too. In verse 5, they're afraid and they come together. The isles, right? That's those surrounding nations. They saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and they came. In verse 6, they try to encourage each other not to be afraid. They say, be of good courage. In verse 7, the tradesmen who make idols try to encourage each other, telling themselves that they are making good and strong gods. Think about that for a moment. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. It's talking about the making of their gods. Set that in juxtaposition with our God, with the real God. So we have this picture here of the unrepentant nations desperately trying to convince themselves that their self-made gods that are soldered and nailed together are really adequate for their needs. But here's what the God says to his people, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the ideas among the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and will not cast thee away. You know, if you are a believer in Christ, you have been purchased by His blood. You've been redeemed. You belong to God. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. God says, you're mine, and I will never leave you alone. So in these nine verses leading up to our text, we just kind of get a glimpse of who the God of verse 10, you know, the one who makes these promises, who He is. He's a God who judges the nations, and a God who rules the rulers of those nations, and creates and calls those nations into being, and chooses His people for Himself, and calls us near Him to serve Him. So these pictures, these examples, these descriptions of who our God is ought to strengthen those five pillars, if you will, of fearlessness. So here's just kind of the way that this whole passage lays out. The God who judges all the earth and calls the nations to give account. The God who rules the rulers throughout history. The God who calls the nations of earth into being because He is first and last. The God who calls His own people and makes Himself their God freely and graciously, that same God says to us who believe, I am your God. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. And it's only then that we find the command built on these foundations. Therefore, because I am the judge of the nations. Therefore, because I rule the rulers of history. Therefore, because I am the creator. Therefore, because I choose freely my own. Therefore, because I, your great omnipotent God, am your God, and I'm with you, and I'll strengthen you, and I'll help you, and I'll uphold you. Therefore, fear not. Do not be afraid. Be not dismayed. Now you can think about these five promises a different way. Think about it just in relation to us. God says, I am your God. I'm over you. I am with you. I'm by your side. I will strengthen you, you know, from within. I will help you. I'm all around you from wherever the enemy comes. I will uphold you. I stand beneath you. God is over you. He's beside you. He's inside you. He's around you. He's underneath you. Therefore, do not fear. Just before we finish tonight, I want to point out one more verse. Now, this is a passage that very powerfully emphasizes God's greatness, His strength, His power. But it also shows us His tenderness. Let me ask you to take a look at verse 13, please. Isaiah 41, verse 13. This God who says, I'm your God, I'm with you, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, Jehovah God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. The God who created all and rules over all promises to hold your hand. I think I've told you about this picture before, but one of the favorite pictures for me to look at in all of my life is a picture of my daughter Joanna and my brother-in-law Jim. Okay, in the picture, Joanna is about 4 years old. So she's there in kind of a summer dress. And she and Jim are walking through, I don't know, it's a wheat field, I can't remember what it is. He's a farmer. And my brother-in-law is a big guy. Okay? He's a good bit taller than me, and he used to play defensive lineman, okay? So he's a big guy. And you know, and his hands are about twice the size of my hands. I mean, you know, they're like baseball gloves. You know, he's a big boned guy, big features, a big frame, a very powerful looking man. And in this picture, he and my daughter are walking hand in hand in this very peaceful and serene scene. The picture stands on the dresser or nightstand or something in my daughter's bedroom. And there's hardly a time that I go in there that I don't look at that picture and smile. Because it really, just to me, in a very vivid, you know, visual, personal way, gives a picture of God here in verse 13 walking hand in hand with his people. Someone big and powerful and strong who just exudes security. Taking someone who is small and fragile and walking with them hand in hand. And God says, I'm your God. I'm with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. In fact, I will hold your hand. Whatever it is that makes you want to be afraid, you don't have to. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be dismayed. I am there for you. So I want to encourage us tonight, folks, to stop letting our circumstances define how we think. Stop letting the what-ifs and the uncertainties of life, you know, drive us to dismay and panic and anxiousness and fearfulness. God says, don't be afraid. And he gives us reasons why we don't have to be afraid, why we shouldn't need to be afraid. Our God is greater than our past experiences. He's greater than our outlook on our circumstances. He's greater than our timidity and natural bent towards fearfulness. And he calls us to a joy-filled fearlessness. You know, let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Believe in God. Believe in God. Trust God. Let God be your God. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, God says, I'm your God. Let him be your help. Let him be your strength. Let him hold your hand. I want us to finish tonight by reading the words of our text together, if you would, please. Verse 10, Isaiah 41. Just read it confidently. Read it robustly. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I would encourage you to memorize that verse. And let the Spirit of God use the promises of that verse to just stir your soul. When I am afraid, I will trust in God. And one of the things that we do is when we are afraid, we look to the Word of God and the promises of God. And there's a verse that is just rich in the promises of God, rich in assurances for God's people. I'm with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. That's God's promise to every believer here. Therefore, be not afraid. Our Father, we are thankful that you are such a great and mighty God. We're equally thankful that you are such a tender, compassionate, loving God. We're thankful that you are mindful of our sinfulness and our frailties and our humanness. And yet you extend your hand and offer to take ours. And promise to walk with us and never leave us, even when we're struggling. I pray, Father, that you would cause us to purposely, to carefully, thoughtfully, intentionally feast our souls upon your promises, particularly in this context of how we face circumstances of life and how we deal with fear. And help us by your grace to be people who would characteristically obey that command to stop being afraid, stop being dismayed, and look to you in love and thankfulness and joy and confidence. A great and mighty God, our God, who's with us, who strengthens us. who helps us, who upholds us. We ask your blessing now as we spend a few moments together in prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, if you need a